Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard you scream. Very long time.
Quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
But he's too buff to be real.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with Mark Lofthouse and it's part two of our Screamfield special double bill. We spoke to Darren Afsani on part one of the Screamfields episode, so if you haven't heard that yet, go back to that last episode, listen to that. It talks all about how Screamfields has become what it's going to be, how they found the park they're going to be working with, the ideas they have behind the event, and so on. So make sure you listen to that episode. But we're going to talk to Mark now. Now, you may recognise that name from previous episodes. He's worked within the scare industry for a very, very long time, and he really does know his stuff. He has such a creative, artistic mind. So we're going to talk to Mark all about the brand new attractions coming to this brand new fear park. Screamfields Fear Park, very exciting. It's opening this October. So without any further ado, let's take you to the interview all about the fantastic new attractions at Screamfields with Mark Lofthouse.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I mentioned in the intro, I am here with long-time friend of the show, Mark Lofthouse. Mark, how's it going?
Yeah, really well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad at all, thank you. Not too bad at all. It's great to have you back on again. And first of all, thank you for coming on to the Scare Track Podcast for, I think, your third time now?
Yeah, I think it is. I love coming on here. It's nice to sort of talk with like-minded people.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, let's talk about scare mazes in February. There's not many people that want to do that.
No, there really isn't. I was actually on the phone to somebody last week, and they said, so what do you do for a living? And when I told them I designed Halloween events in January, they didn't believe her.
Really?
So, yeah.
Hey, it's got to be done. Like, it's a year-round thing. People don't realise it.
It's becoming more year-round as each year goes by. There's just more and more events doing out-of-season events as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. It's all good for the business. And what is amazing for the business is a brand new Scream Park. Now, I did mention it in the intro. So, guys, a reminder again, if you haven't listened to part one of the Screamfield two-parter, make sure you go back and listen to that now. But, Mark, Screamfields, that's sort of like, I remember a few rumblings a little while ago, but all of a sudden, the last month or so, it seems like the momentum, the wheels, the cogs, they're really, really turning now, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they really are. I think this, I've been working with Daz on this project for quite a few years now, but due to sort of workload and where we were both in terms of our own businesses, it sort of didn't really make sense until this year to actually go forward with it. Mm. Now, this year, we're going full steam ahead, as you'll have seen online. So yeah. We've announced all of our attractions. We've announced the location. We're working with Thornton Hall Country Park, who are absolutely amazing to work with. Yeah. We've announced everything. It's all live. Tickets are actually on sale now, so you should all go and buy them.
Screamfields.com.
Yeah, screamfields.com. We've really gone full steam ahead with it at the moment. It's so exciting to see the feedback. The feedback has been incredible for us. Mm-hmm. Everyone is saying something amazing things for us.
It's going. It looks amazing. I mean, I'm on your website now, and everyone should do the same thing whilst we're doing this episode. Go to screamfields.com so you can sort of see the kind of visuals that we're talking about when we talk about these five new attractions at this park. But it looks awesome. Like, don't get me wrong, we will sometimes have new events, but you can see it's events that like slapped onto other things, or people are giving a half-hearted go at things. This already is looking pretty awesome. The visuals, the video, the website is all looking awesome. And we're going straight in with five brand new attractions. Obviously, four, let's call it air quotes, normal style attractions, and then the Reaping Alone 18 plus attraction. So that's a lot of stuff to come up with the first year, isn't it?
Yeah, you could say that. It's been something that, like I said, we've been working on for a couple of years, but actually the concepts for the attractions, which we'll go into a little bit in a couple of minutes, they've sort of organically grown with where we are as a country as well.
Yeah.
I know that sounds a bit artistic to say so, but it is the way we've sort of worked. All of our attractions are quite current and they're quite in with fitting trends at the moment, which obviously we're going to discuss a bit further shortly. But yeah, they're all really unique attractions, and I don't think any of them is sort of normal, so to speak. Like, they're not your generic scare attraction. They're not your sort of really quick, fast-paced attraction. They're all really unique, and they're all quite tongue-in-cheek. And I think that's the idea behind what we're creating. We're creating something that is quite, it is quite tongue-in-cheek. It's meant to be taken quite funny, as well as it being absolutely terrifying. It's meant to be tongue-in-cheek, and you're meant to get the comedy side of it as well.
Perfect. And I've spoken this at length with, you know, multiple people. People don't realise that scare mazes are supposed to be fun and funny and comedic as well. Like, you all get scared, but then afterwards you'll laugh about it. So, and there's an element of humour injected into this event as well.
Oh, definitely. I think the thing is, the way I always try to explain it to people is that you've got to take people on an emotional roller coaster, because if you just put horror at people continuously and it's just jump scare after jump scare after jump scare, you become desensitized by it quite quickly. You need to put these little curveballs in there, these little comedic moments, these little fun pockets of entertainment in there that really differentiate between the terrifying areas, because then the terrifying areas become more terrifying, the funny areas become a bit more funny, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. It's something that I'm excited to experience. I mean, I know that you guys know your stuff, basically. It's not like you're two people that have just gone, I've been through a few things, so I'm going to create something. You've done your homework. So it's very exciting. And I can't wait to come on that emotional roller coaster when the park opens in October. I was told by Darren that you're the maze guy. You're the guy that knows the mazes. Is that fair to say?
I think, yeah, I'm that weirdo, yeah.
You're the weirdo. Awesome. That's the best. You know what? Being a weirdo is the best thing ever.
It makes me very different.
Yeah. If you were normal, I'd be bored so far. So, yeah, it's nice to be weird. So we've got five brand new attractions. Four of your, like I say, I hate to say it, but normal-ish kind of attraction. And then we'll talk about the Alone attraction later, which is quite exciting that it is an Alone attraction. So let's go. I mean, I'm checking out the website here. It's cool that you've got scare factors as well. So let's go. And it's out of 10. This has a fear factor of 9, and it's called Killer. I'm pretty certain there's going to be some blood involved. What's Killer all about?
So Killer was, funnily enough, an idea I had in a dream. I was dreaming and I woke up at like 2 a.m. and I had to write this idea down. And then I woke up the day after and thought, what the hell have I written? but it just sort of makes sense. So obviously in this day and age, a lot of people are looking at the sort of health impact of meat and meat produce.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to develop the concept of an attraction where we're taking a sort of microscope to the whole vegan and vegetarian movement that's happening at the moment.
Okay.
So it's slightly political, and we know that. So the idea behind it is that guests are invited to a butcher and an abattoir. Under the pretense that the butcher there wants to show everybody what level of duty of care that he's got for the animals before they become his produce. So he's inviting you in to say, come and have a look at what I'm doing. I really look after my animals. This is the level of care and dignity that they're given. When in reality, what he's doing is he's just inviting all these people who are picketing, these people who are protesting against meat produce. He's inviting them in to kill them.
That's a smart idea.
Thank you. It's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek. It's meant to be a bit of a joke, because actually some of our creative team, they're vegan as well. They're quite quite militant vegan as well, mm-hmm. and they love the idea because they know that actually what's happening is, as much as we're saying this is a great idea, this is quite funny, it's actually bringing a bit of a microscope, and it's actually putting veganism into people's minds as well. So actually it's working twofold for us. So the idea is that people go into this abattoir and then actually it turns out that you're being murdered by him because you're causing him an issue. The difference is with this attraction, now eagle-eyed viewers and listeners will have actually seen on the website that it states that you'll step blindly into some areas. Now this attraction is going to contain a hooded section.
Oh, okay.
We all know exclusive
there.
Yeah, we all know what hooded mazes usually are, where you put the hood on and you follow a rope with your hand, and you can put the hand on the person next to you. Now, you'll notice that I just said that's what they usually are. That's not what we're doing.
Okay.
So I'm not going to spoil it too much, but let's just say you've got no safety of the rope. You will be hooded and you will be moved from area to area. That's all I'm going to say on it. I'm not going to say too much because I think it'll be a really nice surprise when people go through it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a couple of people that have told about me so far, they sort of winced at the idea, but in a good way. So I think we're also a winner with it.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I don't want to know any more, but I'm scarefully, that's not a word, but I'm scarefully intrigued. Killer sounds good. Killer sounds great. Let's move on to the next attraction that has a fear factor of 9 out of 10 as well, and that's Carnage. Now, I've got to say, on the website, I'm loving the sort of font and the sort of crazy big clown guy, but he looks all sort of dirty and... It looks pretty awesome. It looks like a run-down, dirty circus is what it's saying here in Carnage. Is that basically your... We were chatting to Darren. It's like the clown maze, but the bits you don't see, I'm guessing.
Yeah, precisely. That is exactly what it is now.
Yeah.
In terms of aesthetics, I loved American Horror Story when they did Freak Show.
Yes.
It was really grungy. It was dirty. It was real. And I think that's the idea I wanted to do. A lot of circus attractions, I do love circus attractions. I think they're fantastic. A lot of them go down the route of quite colourful, quite bright, quite bouncy clowns that are sort of... that look like clowns, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We're not going down that route at all. We are looking at the clowns that you don't see. So we're looking at the ones that are in the little vests and the dirty Y fronts, and they've got half a maze cup on. That's the idea behind it. It's real. It's meant to be disgusting. It's meant to be gory. It's meant to be gross. And the whole idea is that you go into a circus, and it's known for having... The week before, trespassers got in there, and these four kids looked behind the curtain, and they were never seen again. And the idea is that you're going to go on the route of looking behind the curtain, but you're actually invited there by the person who's running the circus. So the big clown that you've seen in all our visuals and things, he's going to be the main character of the attraction. And he'll invite you to look behind the curtain. And obviously, like I just mentioned then, it's string vests, it's dirty Y fronts, it's disgusting. Like, the whole idea is you're meant to come out and feel like you need a good shower. That's the whole idea behind that attraction.
Okay, I like it. And it makes it slightly easier for the costume department as well, I guess.
Well, funnily
dirty
enough...
Dirty Y fronts.
Yeah, hopefully people don't bring their own, that's the issue.
Yeah, that's it.
What we're doing at the moment is that actually the costumes in there, we're actually looking at authentic 1950s costumes and things at the moment.
Okay.
We're looking at quite a lot of authentic pieces for that attraction because we want it to stand up. We want it to look so different from any other circus attraction that you've ever seen before. Because it's quite important for us to make these attractions stand out. They need to be different from things that people have seen before. We need to give people a reason to travel to where we are. That's why that is going to look so different, that attraction.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds different. I'm excited about it, definitely. I'm a fan of circus stuff as well, but I do like it when there's a bit of a twist on a circus maze.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think the good thing about this is we've bought a full 18-metre round big top.
Yeah, Darren said, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so it's just incredible. Like, we're in a full-size big top, so it cannot be more authentic if we tried it to be.
Yeah, perfect. That's going to be, I'm sure that's going to be a, so I'm going to guess, like, the signature attraction, like your icon of the event sort of is running that attraction, I guess. He's running that Carnage Maze, the circus freak show guy. So, yeah, I'm definitely reckon this is going to be the one that has, you know, the best reactions and the biggest queues, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely going to be the one that people talk about because it's very, very different from things that have been done before.
Definitely. Awesome. Very, very much looking forward to Carnage. What I am also quite intrigued about, because I would not have put these two aspects of life together. It's got a fear factor of 8. It's called Deep Rave. And it's basically a rave in an abandoned hospital.
Yeah.
What have you been smoking, Mark, and can I have some?
Yeah, that's just me. I'm not normal. So we wanted to sort of, when we were designing these attractions, one of them that we wanted was a sort of typical haunted house. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, people who sort of know what I've done in the past know that I have developed these type of haunted houses before.
Yeah.
That take you on a journey through a haunted house, but we wanted to do it a little bit different. So I started to develop and toy with the idea of a haunted hospital. Now, obviously, that's been done before as well.
Yeah.
So then I thought, how can I make it different? How can I sort of turn it on its head? How can I make people think about it in a different way? So obviously Daz's background, as he's mentioned, he's very well known in the nightclub industry and the music industry as well. So I thought, how about doing a nightclub or like some sort of nightclub attraction combining them? And I couldn't really make it work. And then I thought, yeah, of course, a rave. That's what would happen. You'd get an illegal rave in an abandoned hospital. Sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we decided to combine the ideas and it just felt right. It fell so well with us both. So the whole idea is that you're breaking into this this haunted hospital that mysteriously set on fire with everybody inside, and all the windows and doors were locked from the inside. And as you go on the journey, you'll find out why that happened. So it is going to tell a little bit of a story in there. In terms of visual, you're going to be able to pick it up visually when you're going through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the idea is that you're going into that, and then the ghosts aren't particularly happy that you're in there disturbing them, so they're going to do everything in their power to make sure you don't leave, and you become one of the ghosts. So that's the idea behind it. So it's going to be quite intense. It's going to be quite intimate in terms of the performers that are in there. Okay. But yeah, that's the concept. Now, one of the really unique aspects of this is we've actually got a live DJ in there every single night running the music.
Nice.
Yeah, because that was another thing. We wanted to make it different. We wanted to make it stand out. And obviously, with Daz's, Daz is also a DJ as well. And with his music background, it just really fit with us. So to have a real live DJ running the illegal rave in there just really fitted with us. So every single night that guests come, you will see a live DJ performing in them.
Nice. It sounds like all these attractions have an element of uniqueness to each one, especially with having a DJ in the actual attraction. I don't think I've ever seen that before, so that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's really exciting. There's only one that I know of that is happening. That was in America last year.
Right.
But yeah, in the UK and Europe, it's not been done before under my knowledge.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Like you say, each of these attractions, they're all quirky, they're all weird, they're all unique and different. And we have to do that. We understand that we're in the Northwest, there is other Scream parks in the area, but we're not competitive with these other parks. We want people to come and visit all of them. Like we're quite supportive of other industries. We want people to come and see all of them. And each one of the parks in the Northwest has their own unique stamp, their own unique style. And we've got to put ours in the first year of our event, and we've got to make sure that people understand what our brand is, what our attractions are, the quality that we produce. Yeah. So that's why each one of these is quirky and different.
Yeah, definitely. They all sound pretty quirky. Almost as quirky as this last one here. Second to last. Again, you mentioned something slightly political earlier, and I'm loving this. The next one, Fear Factor of 8, The Yard. And I'm looking at the little summary here. It's another Brexit no deal, but now it's not Remainers and Leavers. It's the cooperative and the uncooperative. And that just sounds... Wow, that you're looking into the future here, Mark, and I'm terrified for it. But where did this all come about? Obviously, I'm guessing Brexit was the sort of stimulus in the original. But did you just sort of take that idea and think how bad or how regimented can life get under a new Brexit deal?
Pretty much, yeah. I just sort of had a look at what the next 5 years are going to look like and wrote you down in an attraction.
And there we go, done.
Yeah, so basically, what the yard, the idea behind it is that you, we're going to go with Brexit because actually Brexit is still current and people are sick of hearing about it.
Yeah.
And actually what I want to do is make people listen to it again, but just in a different format and a different medium. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to listen to it and start going, oh, here we go again, the typical drivel that we hear. It's not that. Actually, the whole point is we want to make fun of it. We want to show people how silly it has been over the past couple of years and how silly it is going to be for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So this attraction is really tongue-in-cheek. The idea behind it is meant to be quite silly. It's meant to be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea behind it is that you go into the attraction and you are transported. And if anybody has seen the park map, you'll understand how you're transported. You get transported from the bottom of the site up into an actual quarry that is on site.
Nice.
So the whole attraction takes place in a quarry. And yeah, it's very different. So the whole concept behind it was that during another messed up Brexit, the UK was separated into two. Obviously, it is Leave and Remain, as you just said, Mikey.
Yeah, yeah.
But the idea is that you either are cooperative with the UK and you go with Brexit, you want it to go through, you follow everything that the government says, or if you're uncooperative, you're basically sent away and you're sent to the place called The Yard.
Okay.
Now, The Yard is a sort of lawless... a lawless feral place. So everyone there basically has gone back to their primitive state. Everyone's making their own suits of armor, and it's sort of like factions fighting against each other and sort of groups fighting against each other.
Okay.
So all the way through the experience, you're going to sort of get fire. You're going to get battles between one clan and another clan. You will get Boris Johnson at one point. It's meant to be funny, but it is also going to be quite terrifying. Like I said, we are going to have fire in there, which is very close. We're going to have very loud noises, very sort of industrial theming throughout as well.
Nice.
And there will be some sort of large moving vehicles in there as well.
Wow.
I can't say more at the moment, but it's really exciting. Like, I think that one's going to be the one that people just really enjoy, not get terrified in. They're going to enjoy it. I think that's the idea behind it.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, sounds good. Sounds great. And again, it's keeping it sort of topical, but giving it, like you say, a bit of a tongue-in-cheek look at it, which is, again, what we need on a good night out. And when I was chatting to Daz in the first episode, he said he doesn't want it to be a case of people come, people go through mazes, and then people go. He wants it to be a night out and a place where people go, they have a fright, and they have a bloody good laugh as well. So it sounds like these attractions fit that bill really well.
Yeah, definitely. And the good thing about the way we've designed these attractions is that every single time you go in, it'll be completely different. So it isn't a case of you are scripted to do this is what you do. So every single guest who comes in, because the idea is we want people to go in these attractions more than once. We want people to experience the whole park as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to arrive first thing, leave at the very last moment of the park as well.
Yeah.
Hence why Daz was obviously talking about the Scream Arena that we have. We have the Scarefair there as well.
Of course, yeah.
So we've got a lot of sort of auxiliary attractions and a lot of reason for people to stay and just increase dwell time within the park.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to come for a full night out there.
Yeah, definitely. And it's sounding pretty awesome so far, I've got to admit. And what's going to be the sort of cherry on the cake is the next attraction with a fear factor of 10, The Reaping. Now, it's a face it alone attraction. First of all, tell us a little bit about the attraction. Obviously, you don't want to give too much away. And then why you decided to go into that sort of face it alone market.
Oh, yeah. So The Reaping was sort of an idea I've been working on for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to develop an attraction where the threat from the attraction isn't necessarily the characters that are in there.
Okay.
I'm trying to word this very cleverly without spoiling what actually happens inside.
Yeah, don't give too much away. Don't give too
I won't
much
get away. Too much away. The whole concept of the attraction is that you get trapped into this farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So the storyline is it's a farmer called Isaiah Crane, and he used to own all of the farm that we're actually based on. And he had really rubbish crop yield for years upon years upon years, and his family, who owned the site for hundreds of years, ended up coming out of business.
Right.
So he signed a pact with the devil to spray blood of anybody who trespassed onto the farm, onto the soil, which fertilised it, and then he started to get good crop yield again.
Right, okay.
So that's the concept of the attraction. But what happens inside, you, in the first scene, it's very apparent that you get trapped as a trespasser into the farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So we're building a whole farmhouse, and inside the farmhouse is where it starts to go a little bit wrong for you. in the first scene, it's going to be the rules of the attraction going to be given to you, the terms and conditions, and also your aim of the attraction. Now, unlike other alone-based attractions, which are in the UK, where you sort of are a witness, or you get things done upon you, and then you move on to the next scene, then other things are done upon you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through a very different route, and you've got a direct, active narrative within the attraction.
Right, oh, okay.
You become part of it. You have to do things, sort of like an escape room, but you have to participate in order to progress.
Right.
And the concept of the attraction, which I will give away because it's not too much at the moment, mm-hmm. you have to get through the attraction without getting caught by any of the people who live there.
Oh, okay.
So there's going to be a lot of hiding spots throughout the attraction litter that you have to hide away from the actors inside.
Nice. That's a cool idea. Yeah, it's
that's
like a
the
game.
Concept behind it. Yeah, that's sort of the concept behind it. But obviously, if you get caught, there's a reason the attraction is 18 plus.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. So if you get caught, that's where things start to go very, 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 very wrong for you as a guest. So yeah, basically the whole idea is that you've got to escape this house without getting caught by the actors. And obviously that in itself, that creates so much malice and threat because you just want to evade these at all costs.
Yeah.
Obviously we're quite understanding people might go in there and say, oh, well, it's fine, I'll just get caught straight away and see what happens. You can do that if you want to, and you will still experience an amazing attraction if you do that.
Okay.
But we're asking people to please join in with it. Please get to grips with it,
yeah.
and try and do it all the way through. We're going to have a leaderboard at the end of the year, and the person who gets through quickest can win at the end of the year.
Oh, okay, that's cool. So there's a bit of a bit of competition there. I like that. That's such a cool idea.
Thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. It's something I've been working on for quite a while now, and it's only this time when we're in the venue, and it just works well for us.
Yeah.
It's probably worth noting as well now that we are potentially, I'm going to use the word potentially very strong here,
mm-hmm.
We might be opening it during the day, as a family fun kids experience as well. So this sits aside from Screenfields.
Yeah.
And this will be something that Thornton Hall are looking at the moment, but they might be opening it to families during the day as a completely different experience. So we're in talks at the moment. We might be developing that for them as well, which is really exciting for us.
Yeah, definitely. A multi-purpose attraction, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it'll be really exciting.
Definitely. Awesome. You know what? I'm in one of those moves where I'm like, oh, I really want to know more. But then I'm like, no, Mikey, no, you don't. You want to experience it. You don't want to ruin it for yourself. So I'm excited. I'm definitely going to be experiencing the reaping. And it's what I've got to ask this, and don't, you know, let me know if you don't want to answer the question. The sort of 18 plus / extreme / face it alone style of things, some of them, if I take Hannah, for example, my wife and co-host, she's stopped doing some of them now because they get too in their face, or they're too sexualized, or they make you eat horrible stuff and she doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that this is going to dip it into bits of that? Is it going to be heavily featured that? Just so, because I love the stuff, and there's lots of listeners here that love that kind of thing as well, and I'll do every extreme / 18 plus / face it alone experience, but I know that there's a sort of Marmite market there. How, if you're allowed to say or want to say, how deep might you venture into those more extreme scenarios?
Absolutely not. So I'll explain why now. Obviously, my sort of history, I used to obviously work with Atmosphere Scale Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to work with the company, and I was one of the creatives who worked on Psychomantium, for example.
Yeah.
And obviously everybody sort of knows what Psychomantium is and what it produces.
Yeah.
And obviously Snuff House After Dark as well. So I've come from sort of having done that side of stuff in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of, that is in my past, and that's sort of something that I have done, but this one is not for that. We don't want to delve into that area.
Yeah.
We want people to have a really intimate, a really sort of intense experience, but without going down the route of actual torture or simulated torture or sexualized elements to it. We don't want to go down that route. Actually, we want to create something that is just intense,
okay.
something that
yeah.
is just quite
intense,
intimate
yeah.
as an experience. Yes, exactly. And that we want to create that. It's the same as obviously a lot of escape rooms that you go in, the intensity is created by you having to escape. The intensity is created by you having an aim of, oh, we've only got 10 minutes left, we've only got 5 minutes left. But a lot of them don't have extreme elements in them, mm-hmm. whereas you'll be getting sort of restrained, you'll be getting dragged here, there and everywhere, whereas we want to create that same feel, but in a conventional walkthrough of attraction.
Okay, sweet, awesome. Yeah, that answers the question perfectly then. So the likes of people who might go, yeah, I like the more intense stuff, but I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. It sort of ticks those boxes to say, this is more extreme, it's more intense, but you don't have to do X, Y, and Z. You're not going to come out smelling of whatever or tasting whatever on your tongue. So, awesome. Okay, I mean, five solid attractions by the sounds of it there, Mark, all with different sort of scenarios and different elements. Before we sort of end it, do you have one that's really that feels like your baby, one that you're most looking forward to creating and letting us all check it out eventually?
Probably Killer, I'll admit. Mm-hmm. And it's because we're trying, especially the sort of the hooded area that we're working with. I've worked with hooded attractions for 5-6 years now. Mm-hmm. And actually what we're creating here is something I've never seen done before.
Awesome.
Which is slightly worrying, as exciting as it is.
Yeah.
But it's something that's never really been done before. And we're relying heavily on textured flooring throughout, a lot of sound, a lot of tactile effects throughout the experience. It really tells a story when you're doing it. So to be honest, I'm really excited because obviously as a sort of theatre producer and as an immersive attraction designer, I love doing things that make you think and make you really push your comfort zone out, and that one's really doing it with me at the moment. Obviously, it's when you're designing scare attractions, you're sort of used to designing, this scene will look like that, this is what will happen, this is what will happen. But when you take off sight away from it all, you've really got to tell a story through audio, through heat, through everything else, sense, everything. And actually, it's really pushing my comfort zone at the moment. I love that. I think that's usually when I tend to work at my best, when I'm really pushing myself.
You push, absolutely, definitely. Something new, something intriguing, something exciting. Yeah, Killer sounds good. It might make me even turn vegan. Who knows? I love a burger
survive.
Too much. If I survive. Awesome. Awesome. I mean, before we end it there, obviously, first of all, Mark, thank you for giving us a little bit of an insight into all these fantastic new attractions coming to Screamfields. But before we go, you are obviously... now your own boss. Work for yourself. So if anyone needs anything that you think that you could tick a box for, what are the sort of services that you can offer to people, and how can they get in contact with you for anything they may need?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, so I've become fully freelance as of November.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm currently just working with individual park operators. So whether that is Halloween or whether that is farm parks and things, I'm just working with park operators at the moment to develop immersive and engaging entertainment and events. So I'm sort of helping people and doing consultancy work at the moment, which is really, really exciting. And I'm working with some fantastic clients. But yeah, in the first instance, I just get people to email me, which is mark.mlcd@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. People just send me an email and say what they're after, or that tends to be what it is. Or if they find me on LinkedIn and look at Mark Lofthouse on LinkedIn, they can contact me there as well. But that's tending to where I'm finding most of my clients at the moment. But obviously, I do sort of attraction design, event management, graphic design, poster design, so all the screen field things that you see, a lot of it was done by me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I do sort of all levels of creative work.
Perfect. So if anyone wants to build something from scratch and they need this, they need a bit of that, and they need this thing as well, just call Mark. He's got your back. You know what to do.
Yeah.
He knows what to do in all of it.
Whether it's Halloween, Christmas, Easter, anything.
Excellent. Perfect. Awesome. I mean, and you know, it's a scary world out there, going it alone and doing all that. So an absolute good luck to you. Hats off to you. And I hope it all goes fantastically well. And I hope it all goes as well as Screamfields is going to go. We spoke about it with Darren, but how can people find out all the information regarding Screamfields, regarding the website and all your social media?
So yeah, we are at screamfields.com. And you'll be able to find us at Screamfields Fear Park on Facebook. We're also on Instagram and Twitter.
Perfect. Awesome. So, guys, go over there now. Like, subscribe, rate, comment, do whatever you can over on the social media handles. Head over to the website. If you haven't been there already, like Mark just said, screenfields.com. Website is sexy. Not just saying that. It is a sexy-looking website. I like a very nice-looking website. And like we say, you can book your tickets now, so do not hesitate. There's 11 nights of frights, starting on the 16th. Going all the way up to Halloween night. So, very excited. Mark, thank you very, very much for coming on to the Scare Track podcast once again. I really, really do appreciate it. And I can't wait to see you at Screenfields.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me back on. It's been great to talk to you again.
Awesome, fantastic. Best of luck, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, see you soon.
So there we go, guys. An absolutely fantastic park Screenfield is setting up to be. I'm very, very excited. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always excited when an attraction has a new maze. But the fact that this is a brand new park, not only is it just a brand new park, they do pop up from year to year, but it's a brand new park with creators that know what they are doing. They are really been in this game for a while. They know what to do. They know how to develop stories and characters, theming, marketing, as you would have heard in our part one episode with Darren. Very, very excited about this park, and I can't wait to get there. You make sure you need to get there as well, guys. Get your tickets now, www.screenfields.com. That's screenfields.com. Like we just spoke about with Mark, five brand new attractions that we're going to experience. And it's not just the attractions they've got there as well. Obviously, they've got all the street theatre, basically all in their Scream Arena. So I'm excited, guys. I can't wait to get there. So, like I say, get your tickets at screenfields.com. And once again, thank you very, very much to Mark Lofthouse for coming on to the Scare Track podcast. So that brings us almost to the end of this episode of the Scare Track podcast. I have got just a small announcement to make, but before I do, please do join us over on our social media, Scare Track, on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Please subscribe, rate, comment. Absolutely anything that you can do to support the show, really, really, we really do appreciate it. And support is what we need, guys, because a little bit of bad news. Scare Track is going to be going on a short hiatus just for a little bit. We're not entirely sure how long now, but we are going to be going on a short hiatus. But that's why we want your continued support to make sure that when we come back kicking and screaming back into this amazing world, the scare industry, especially the UK scare industry, it's what we know and love and have such a huge passion for. We want to come back to you guys. We don't want to, you know, lose all our followers or lose any subscribers or anything like that. We want you guys to be there when we get back at it, and we will of course be back sooner than we all may think, but just for the next you know, a few weeks, few months, who knows, we'll see how it goes. Scare Track is unfortunately going to be taking a small hiatus, but we hope you join us when we are back. When we are back, I'm sure we will be back kicking and screaming as always. Guys, if you want to send us a message direct, if you want to join us on the show when the show comes back, or you just want to send us some love, you can do that just info@scaretrack.co.uk. Otherwise, you can do all that over on our social media. Go join us on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. We love chatting to you guys, and although the show might be taking a small hiatus, we'll still be watching, we'll be still reading the comments that we have for all the scare community and the theme park community as well. When it comes to Coaster Track, we do this because we love it, and we do it because we think that you guys kind of like it too. So it'll be great to see what you guys have enjoyed over the last few months of the Scare Track podcast. So please do let us know in the comments. So guys, there's one up to this episode. Screenfield is going to be amazing. There's one down. We're going on a little break, but don't worry, we're not going too far. It's not goodbye, it's just ta-ra for a bit. I don't know why I said that. Right, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks again to Mark Lofthouse for coming on. And we'll see you soon.